everyone. God bless you. I hope you're having a good 2023 so far. Many, many blessings from Global Missions Vision, JMC Ministries, and our wonderful evangelist, Richard Meredith, with Harvest Evangelistic Ministries. It's such a joy and an honor and privilege for you to be here. We were just reminiscing going down where we came from with Global Missions Vision, other things we've been involved in. Christine was talking about some of the different connections that she's made, and we were talking with Brother Richard about where are things going right now, where are things going in the future. But let me just share with you just a little bit about evangelist Richard Meredith with Harvest Evangelistic Ministries. Like I said, it's such an honor and a privilege to have you here today with him having over 30 years, talking about his first crusade, about people wanting to get involved in the ministry and about what his life was like when he was getting saved at the age of 33 while attending the second year of Bible school, and about him, you know, getting up and having that handshake with the guest speaker and having that amazing heartfelt moment where it wakes him up and tells him he wants to go to Russia and do a missions work, and going back and his life transforming him, getting changed, and then the call of God getting placed upon his life. You've got to think about this. 30 years have passed since he's founded Harvest Evangelistic Ministries and preaching the gospel to millions of people across the globe, and millions of people getting saved and reaffirming their life. And then there's the signs and wonders and miracles and so many things happening in Jesus' name, and God blessing the nations and God blessing the ministries and God blessing the businesses and everyone else in between. And it's just an amazing opportunity. Again, it's such an honor and privilege to have this opportunity to have this discussion this time with evangelist Richard. I cannot express my humbleness and gratitude to the ditch digging that he's done with his ministry that has set and passed the torch to other ministries across the globe that may have been at one of his events and learned about what he has done and where he's gone. Or maybe they've read his book, Placing Our Lives in His Hands. With this amazing possibility that God placed on his life that transformed him, that God woke him up in a handshake. I don't know about you, but that just strikes a chord in my heart and my soul, just thinking about what God can do and transform the nations through this moment, through these opportunities. Because God has a message for us today in this meeting, as you'll learn more about evangelist Richard and what's going to happen. You know, what's happened through the pandemic? What's happening now? What work has been accomplished? What things have we learned? What torches have been passed? What happens next? Where does this go to the future? All this is more is in store as we let our brother evangelist Richard Meredith. Thank you so much for coming today. Again, it is an honor and a privilege. I am humbled by the amazing ministry and the hands and feet that you have been for Jesus Christ. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Jeremy, for this opportunity, and Christine for being there. Boy, so much has happened. I'm just going to try to jump in here. The Lord gave me two verses 30 years ago. Though your beginning has been insignificant, your end will increase greatly. And behold, you'll call a nation you do not know, and a nation that knows you not will run to you because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. So I've been praying those for 30 years. And in that about 28 years, we reached about 750,000 people in person. And it's a lot of times, you know, for me, that would be walking through a little village. I've always tried to reach out where other people won't go. If you go to a big city or a capital or something like that, you know, somebody might have been there. I didn't want to ever put another poster on top of another man's poster, because the people in the area, for the most part, might have heard the gospel. I've always tried to reach out where Muslims, different people wouldn't come to hear a Christian speak. And boy, we've seen the greatest results. And plus, it really encourages the pastors to be in those places, because 99% of the time, most people won't visit there, won't go that far, or sleep out in the bush and those type of things where I've been. So it's been a wonderful journey. I guess if I could share something with people that might be listening, is success doesn't happen usually overnight. And I guess two of my favorite sayings I should probably put in here first is, God's not looking for great people, but for people who prove the greatness of our God. And I have nothing nothing to prove, only one to please. So, you know, I try to live my life really by that. You know, I've never wanted to build a name, but a kingdom, and not a kingdom or a ministry for myself. Just want to see people saved. You know, that's the heart of an evangelist first and foremost. But I started off pastoring. I was pastoring for 3 years of my second year of Bible school. I don't like to throw names around because it's not that important. I know Jesus, so I've already known the most important person ever. But Reinhard Bonnke's son-in-law came to our Bible school to teach. And after class, I was a young Christian. I went up to give him a hug. And as soon as I did, my heart exploded. Now, all the men in our family have died of heart attacks. So I just thought, wow, this could be the big one. But I didn't realize that somehow God imparted something to me, because I went on the first crusade with him in 1992. We were preaching in Russia, and I saw people being saved and healed, and got a chance to pray and preach there. And when I come back home, I realized my heart was still on the field. So at that time, we stepped out, started Harvest Ministry. And, you know, something I'd like to share, you know, that somebody might look at where somebody's at now and think, boy, they're successful or whatever. And they don't know, when you didn't have much backing, you didn't have any finances, you didn't have any support from whatever area, they don't know at that time, that's where God was making something out of you. And, you know, God usually takes us down to the foundation, and he works in the foundation because he knows the weight we're going to have to carry someday with our lives. So I want to encourage anyone who's listening and they're in ministry and says, well, I've been at this for, you know, 20 years, 25 years. And, you know, I'm not seeing God's word come to pass in my life that he gave me. And, you know, everybody should have, if you're in ministry, you should have a life verse. There should be some verses that you have prayed for a long time. I mean, you just continue to stand on. And even though it doesn't look like it's coming together, God will orchestrate things that do. And, you know, I've seen some tremendous miracles. I mean, just some things I've had to get off the stage just crying. At one time, I remember doing a crusade, and I was in Colombia, South America. And there was about, I don't know, 5,000 people there. And there was a bunch of men out in the audience, and they started screaming in the crowd and got them up front. And I said to the interpreter, what's happening? And they said, look at this man's face. I said, I see it. They said, well, this man was shot with a shotgun from a distance, and it was about 5 years earlier, so his face really looked bad. And they said, do you see his left eye? I said, I see it. They said, when he came, he didn't have one. And they just started to scream, and pandemonium just really went through the crowd. And but for me, I mean, I got off the stage and just said, Lord, you know, you gave somebody a new eye. So I've seen God do some tremendous things. But when the pandemic hit, no, actually, right before the pandemic, I was in Uganda doing a crusade, and one of the trustees of our ministry was there. And after 3 days of doing that, I also teach pastor conferences in the daytime. And he said, Richard, have you ever thought about being on TV or radio? And I said, no. As quickly as possible, I said, no, I'm not one of those guys. I don't have a radio voice or TV face thinking in my mind. Well, the pandemic hit. I wasn't able to travel. In fact, I was scheduled to be, when it hit, in India to do a crusade. And I wasn't able to travel. And I started to think, you know, I just wonder if it's possible that I could record somehow messages and somehow put them on TV in Africa. And so I got in touch with the local TV station. I asked if they had an engineer. He got on the line. I said, thinking of broadcasting on TV, what equipment do I need to buy to make this work? He asked me if I had an iPhone 11 Pro. I said, I did, or do, at that time. And I went down in the basement, made a little place to record. I recorded these messages. They're on YouTube for anybody to see. And I recorded them, and we got in touch with a TV station in Uganda. It was called Bubba TV there in eastern Uganda and western Kenya. And they gave us 4 days. And I've always said, for prime time on secular TV or radio. I don't want to be on a Christian station, figure that most of the people that are listening to a Christian station already know Jesus. So we went on prime time. It was 7 o'clock. We took every Monday night for four weeks. And I woke up the first morning, and my organizer got in touch with me. He said, you know, the station has a potential of 5 million people. He said in the TV station, through SM calls and people reaching out and to him, that they had over 200,000 people get in touch. And I just fell on my knees, just started to cry. And something else happened. I have to share this. This is very important. You know, as an evangelist, you have a heart for the lost. That's it. Flat, you know, that's all you want to do is see people saved. But at this time, something happened. I started to find myself wanting to stay up at night. And even after my wife would go to bed, I would go down and start praying in my office to start at 11 o'clock and pray sometimes till 1. And I started to really cry. I started to just plead with the Lord and say, please, Lord, don't let them die without you. And just, I could just be doing anything. It could be daytime. I could be walking in the store, on the street, whatever, and just start to cry and weep for the lost. And that has continued. And I've always prayed for the lost, always fervently. But this is something different. So we broadcast for 4 days on that station. Such success. We got another 4 days. Then when that was finished, and at this point, we already had hundreds of thousands of people who responded. And then I said, well, let's try secular radio. So we went on secular radio. We've always requested 30 days prime time. And the results have been just literally amazing. We've done about, I don't know, I'm going to say 15 stations in Uganda. We've worked our way all around. And so our broadcasts have reached into Rwanda, Cameroon. Oh, and we broadcast in Cameroon on TV. Let's see, Sudan. Where else? Kenya. Where else? Sudan. Congo. We reached into the Congo as well. And just the results, I mean, just wonderful. Like in the Congo, there was a refugee camp right on the Ugandan border. So they would listen to my messages and they would interpret them to the people in the camp. So they would stop, say a few words, start the broadcast again. Here we had 200 people in a refugee camp give their life to Jesus. So just wherever the gospels went out. And at this same time, India opened for us and we started to broadcast in India. We're doing one city at a time. Because of the sheer size of India, I think there's 3.5 billion people there. And what the results we've had, the success has been amazing. Now, I would have never attempted to be on radio or TV ever. If you would have ever told me that you're going to do that someday, I'd have said, no, there's just no way. Not me. It would have to be somebody else. But this funny thing is, I have prayed for this 30 years. Lord, I pray you would reach the lost by TV, internet, satellite, and any form of communication. Again, just never thought it would be me. And the results we've had has just been incredible. I mean, from every side, we just finished this year in Uganda, Kenya, our broadcast reaching into Sudan and also in India. We've had so far this year, in 22, we've had over 21,000 people make a commitment to Christ. These were all telephone calls to the station and to our team. And it was great on our last broadcast in Kenya on TV, the TV station, TV station put a Muslim man in charge of taking some of the telephone calls that were coming into the station. And after 3 days of getting these testimonies of people being saved and giving their testimony and people being healed, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. Which Amen. Is why, and we were preaching in Cameroon and on TV. And also in India, both places in India, the man who was in charge of the TV station in India says, I'd like to see these broadcasts before I put them on our TV station. He watched one of the salvation messages, gave his life to Jesus. Now we paid for 4 days. And he said, I'm going to give you the fifth day for free. So, you know, just a wonderful thing, just being able to reach so many people. And the healing testimonies, just, you know, somebody in Africa, elephantitis, some of these are on YouTube. You can go see them. There's one where there was a Muslim lady. They went into her house. She's got the Muslim outfit on, and her two sons are there. And the organizer says to her, okay, what has happened to you? And she says, there was a miracle. She said, my son has been deaf since birth. He's about 13. She said, and this white man was preaching, praying for the sick. And she said, I took my hand, son, and put them on the radio. And now my son can hear. And this is, you can watch this. I guess at this point in my life, you know, when you're a young man and you're doing crusades and you're doing ministry, you know, a lot of focus is on your work, your ministry, and what you're doing. But when you get to this season in my life, you know, if you don't have a successor, you're not successful. So really right now, I would love to see young men take these messages. They're going to be on Facebook, or they're going to be on YouTube, and to take some of these messages and see what they can use out of them. You know, we're all preaching the same message. As long as people are being saved, that's all that matters. You know, for me, I preach a simple message. I use stories and scriptures, because it doesn't matter where I've preached, people have been able to understand that and to receive that. You know, you got to get people lost to get them saved. And then, you know, you present the gospel, and just amazing things have been happening. So I would have never expected, so far on broadcast since 2020, the estimated or potential audience we've could have reached from multiple broadcasts has been 850 million people.
Wow.
And through that, I forget, we've got several million who have responded in these countries. And so, and you know, during all this, I said, Lord, is there a time where you want me to travel again? What would you like me to do? Because, you know, I want to make sure that I'm walking with God and being led. And he said, don't slow down the pace for me unless I tell you. So we've just continued to march on the way we're doing. God has been faithful to provide. Now, again, I don't want to make it sound as though this has been an easy walk. There was 28 years of challenges, difficulties, you know, raising support. It wasn't like it just happened all of a sudden, but the pandemic really gave us the platform to reach more people for Jesus. So if I could encourage anybody out there and you think, boy, I could never do this, and there's a local TV station, a radio station, and you're capable of making some kind of a message, even if it's a 5-minute message, somewhere could just put in a slot just to lift up Jesus. Now, there's people always listening, and we've always went for secular radio and TV. We'll be broadcasting here in Uganda and Kampala on the 17th. We're going to do 4 Sundays in a row, and we're also going to go back into India. So I'm just looking to expand. I really feel like right now God wants me to reach another land for him. So I've been praying, Lord, you know, I pray you bless me indeed. You enlarge my borders. Thy hand would be with me. You'll keep me from harm. It might not pain me. And, you know, I always pray, Lord, don't ever let a foot of pride come upon me. You know, I just want to be pleasing to you. I made a vow to just say, Lord, I want you to have 100% of the glory. I don't want to touch your glory. So God has just been doing something amazing. Jeremy and Christine, I'm honored to be on the broadcast right now and just share a little bit of my story, and hope that it will encourage somebody out there, especially if you've been in ministry for a long period of time and you're just not seeing the results you were hoping to see. You know, for me, in the beginning, when I first started doing crusades in Colombia, it just took off. You know, I started in Russia, then Colombia. And just huge crowds, people being saved and healed. Then things slowed down. Just little events, smaller events, excuse me. And then the pandemic hit. But again, God, give me a verse. Though your beginning has been insignificant, your end will increase greatly. So I don't know how close I'm getting to my end, but the increase has been wonderful. And at 66 years old, I'm just happy that the Lord is giving me this time to be able to use a format. I would never be able to reach this amount of people by making trips in an airplane back and forth. So the impact that God is allowing us to have right now, and I really think we're in a time right now in this world. I think we're in a time where we can see things lining up. And so I think this is a time where, you know, you got to try, attempt things that, you know, you might not attempt otherwise. I would have never attempted this, but I thought, you know, maybe God would bless it. And I could, you know, I prayed about it. It's not like I could say I got hit with a lightning bolt that said, go ahead and do this. I just felt, let me try this. And I prayed about it. And as I kept going along, little things started lining up to make it easier. So that's just a little bit. And, you know, for a long time, you know, we struggled financially. And God also told me at this time, right about this time, it was in 2018, I would jump into work to keep my family going. There's no, if you're in ministry, there's no dishonor in going to work. You know, it's an honor to be able to have something you can do with your hands to to take care of your family. And I did that. But there was a point where the Lord said to me, he said, I was reading the word of God. It says, you shall do no laborious work. And I thought, boy, you know, I'm going to have a hard time sharing that with my wife that, you know, I'm not supposed to do any laborious work. Let me get a drink of water here. And, but all of a sudden, it was just a short time later, somebody got in touch with me. And I said to the Lord, Lord, how am I? And he said, shall you serve me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be. And I just said, Lord, who am I to tell you what my wages should be? And the next scripture was, do what the Lord said. And so I gave him the amount we need to live on. It wasn't much. We've been debt free for years. And so, just a short time later, somebody started giving us that amount, and it has continued all of this time. So when God is in it, it just pans out. So, and you know, there's a big difference between a lightning bolt and a lightning bug. So when God gives you that word, you know, I just had to stop work. I sent a letter in, say, hey, I'm finished. Can't work anymore for you. Thanks. And the Lord said, I'll take care of you. I'll surely provide for you. And so for that time, he's been giving. So now I'm able to give 100% of my time just to reaching the lost, as we're doing through broadcasting. And the Lord has provided all of our needs. So, you know, but again, there was 28 years, 29 years of a lot of trials and difficulties to get to this place we're at right now. And I'm just grateful that at this point in my life that I can reach this many people for Jesus. And it's just a huge blessing. I would have never expected it. So again, I hope somehow this will encourage somebody who's in ministry out there and just say, boy, I have just struggled. And just to say, you know, perseverance is the key. You never know if it's the last hit on the rock with a hammer that's going to shatter it. So you just keep going. You don't stop. You've got to persevere. I know preaching in pastor seminars, I'll meet a lot of pastors say, boy, I'm just ready to quit it. I've had enough with ministry. I'm tired of, you know, I'm tired of different situations, possibly, you know, money situations. Usually it's a big one. Sometimes it's people. It's the difficulty of the area in which they work. But I just tell them, look, perseverance is the key. I said, you know, your reward's going to be great. And that scripture, Jesus says, you know, I've accomplished the work that the Father gave me to do. So I usually ask, if you were to die right now, you stood before Jesus, could you say, Lord, I accomplished the work you gave me to do? If you can't answer that question by saying yes, then you've got to reevaluate and say, Lord, I do want to do that. I want to make sure for what's left of my life, I'm giving it to you. And in my case, I know there's more years behind me than there are ahead. So we're supposed to number our years. And so I'm doing that and investing everything I have to reaching the lost. So again, would have never expected this. I pray it encourages somebody out there to keep moving forward. And the salvation messages I have are on YouTube. Anybody can see them. And I hope that there'll be people out there saying, well, I could use part of that teaching or that story, something that they could use. And so they can advance the kingdom where they're at.
See, but what I'm thinking that's happening in the middle of this, that keeps the reoccurring theme is, and it's bringing up a question I'm kind of wondering, like an example that you can give where things were stuck or maybe something wasn't right and what the situation was and then how did God redirect that and put you on the path? Because I think a lot of people would be interested in hearing an example from you of something that may have happened in your other ministry or your personal life or something just did not seem to line up or something. And then God came in and just changed the path or resolved the path. And it's just completely God. Do you have an example of that? You'd like to share?
I have two.
Okay.
When I started in ministry, I was an assistant pastor of a church, and I guess I got used to, you know, when you're under somebody else, there's an umbrella. You're not the leader of the ministry. I kind of call that the marshmallow land, where life is not super difficult. You're in ministry, but you've got somebody over you. And When we stepped out in ministry, at the church, of course, I had a steady paycheck. I could count on my resources always being in the back, when needed. Then when we started in evangelism, I didn't realize, that not everybody's heart, everybody has a different pocket. They have something they want to invest in. Some it's kids ministry, some it's evangelism. Some people want to drill a well, build a church. And it was very difficult. I mean, we struggled, for years with the finances. So a few times in there, I just thought about 3 or 4 years in, I just thought, oh, I'll just go back to pastoring a church. That shouldn't be so hard. You know, you just teach people and then I'll continue to be able to do evangelism. Well, we started a church and, lo and behold, you know, the best Sunday we ever had was 30 people. And I just really struggled with that because I thought, you know, one time we're preaching to crowds of, you know, 17,000, 20,000 people. And now I'm pastoring, 3 or 4 people, or, and sometimes I should say maybe, 20 people on the best day. And so one day I was praying. Well, actually, I should back up a little bit. Doing crusades in South America, things were going great. We're averaging 20,000 people a crusade. We've been working in the country for some time. And I was flying into Colombia one day, and the plane was almost empty. There was hardly 2 or 3 people in this big jet. And I had my hand on my face. I was looking out the window, and I heard somebody say, "What do you see out the window?" So I figured somebody's right behind me. Even though when I sat down, I didn't see anyone. So I thought I'll look between the seats to see if there's somebody there. I didn't see him. I took off my belt. I stood up. No one was there. I thought, okay, I'm probably hearing things. So I sat back down, put my belt on, and then it started to dawn on me that possibly the Lord was speaking to me. So I said, "Lord, if that was you, say it again." Now, I can't say God has spoken to me audibly once or twice in my life where I heard him clearly, which just wasn't through the word of God. And the Lord said to me again, "What do you see out the window?" I said, "I see the ocean. I see the land and I see the sky and the sun." And he said, "How did I make these things?" And I said, "With your word." He said, "Then teach it." Lo and behold, whatever came over me, I said, "No." So, cause I hated to teach. I didn't want to teach the word. I'm an evangelist. I just want to preach the gospel. So went and did this crusade. It was great. When I came back home, I started to receive letters. All of our supporters, which wasn't a lot, sent letters saying, "Brother, we love you. Believe in your ministry, but we feel right now we're supposed to stop supporting you." And all of a sudden, we didn't have any support, no resources. So I said, at this time, maybe we should start a church. Maybe this is how God directs you. And I thought, well, at least this way, my family will have something to eat because it was tough. And so we started the church, only had about 30 people. After 3 years, one day I was going to my place to pray, which I happened to live on a farm, so I had a barn. And as I was going there, I was up the steps to it, going to the second floor. I heard the Lord say to me, "When you're able to teach," well, actually I stopped and I just raised my hand. I said, "Lord, if this is what you want me to do the rest of my life, teach these 30 people and this will be pleasing to you, I'll do it." And the Lord spoke to me and said, "When you're able to teach the word of God, like you preach evangelism, you can go again." I spent 3 years there. And the first crusade I did in Uganda, in the daytime, they said, "Would you teach pastors?" I said, "Yes." And in 4 days, we had 1,100 pastors there. Now, I would have never wanted to stand before pastors, but that 3 years built a foundation in me to be able to teach the word of God. So there was one of those times where, you know, I didn't want to do it. God helped me out. You know, I always say, if you don't do what God wants, he can give you a push. I mean, one of my favorite stories is this, if I have time to tell it, but there was a rich father. He had a ton of money, and he had one daughter. She wasn't married. And so he said, "Honey, I want to help you. I'm getting older. I've got all this money, all these businesses, and I want you to be married so that you'll have somebody with you." He said, "So I'm going to help you." He said, "I'm going to put posters all over town. I'm going to put this advertisement on TV and radio. that the first man who comes on Saturday and can swim my Olympic pool the fastest gets to have you and all the money I have and the business. She said, it sounds like a good idea. So Saturday morning, there's all these men lined up in these little skidoo bathing suits all waiting to swim. But the father had put a cover over the Olympic pole. He asked his workers, he said, take the cover off. They unwound the cover. When the cover was off the pole, he had taken all the regular water out of the pole. He put salt water in it, and he put three tiger sharks inside of the water. And they stood, and they waited and waited. And he said, honey, I don't think anyone's going to swim for you today. All of a sudden, they heard splash. Some guy went flying across the pool, jumped out, and the father ran over and said, son, everything you have is everything I have is yours. You've got my daughter, all of my money, it's all yours. He said, I only want the name of the man who pushed me. So if you don't move, God can help you out. So I jumped back and forth between pastoring more than once. And every time I did, it didn't work. It became a disaster, really. It just wasn't my place, and I just didn't get it. Because I thought, why is this ministry so hard? Why, if people are being saved and healed, can I not get the support? And after two or three times of that, God started to work on me. And now, in the midst of this time, I've seen God do some tremendous miracles, things that just brought me to my knees, really. It's just things I couldn't describe. One time I was preaching in Columbia, and there was a praying for the sick, and a father came up, and I never get off the stage, and I said, all the people line up in rows, I'm going to pray for you. A man came up, I'll make this short, but he came up, he said, I said, what do you want God to do? He said, I want him to heal my son. I said, do you believe he can do it? He said, yes, I believe it. I said, okay. Right at this moment, God said to me, and this is one of those few times he spoke to me out of, he says, take what you have in your pocket and give it to him and tell him to lay it on his son. And so I have my eyes closed. Now I've got my interpreter next to me. There's two rows with a couple thousand people in front of me. And I've got my eyes closed. And I said, Lord, I don't carry anything in my pocket. My passport was worth 10 grand to the wrong people in Colombia. And I'm having this conversation. And my interpreter says, Rich, what are you doing? Look at all these people. I said, well, God's asking me to do something that I hadn't reached in my pocket before this. And the only thing I had was some green toilet paper in my pocket. And I said, no, I don't want to do this. And so I took it out of my pocket because the interpreter said, really, just do whatever God's saying. I'm thinking, this is another thing I would have never done. I said, do you believe God can heal your son? He said, yes. I said, I want you to take this. I want you to take it. I want you to lay it on your son. Command him to be healed in Jesus' name. And then I want you to take him to the doctor. Next day, we're preaching the crusade. And I see this father there. Well, I expected his son was going to be a little kid. Well, he was 16 years old. He was taller than his dad. And there was a man there in a really nice suit. I started to say, do you want, healing testimonies? This man waved. He said, could I come up? I said, sure. He came up. He said, could I have the microphone? I said, you can. He took the microphone and he said, I'm not one of you people. He said, but this man brought his son to me today, and I just told him yesterday, there's no more I can do for your son. He said, this boy had leukemia. I tested his blood, and I'm here to tell you the leukemia is gone. And now I had no idea what that was. I put the hand over the microphone and said, my interpreter said, what is leukemia? He says, Rich, it's cancer in the blood. And the crowd just crazy. And this was one of those amazing testimonies. Now, during this time, in 2020, actually, I found out I hit my head, went in to get some tests done, and they said, you have what appears to be a brain tumor. So for 17 years, I dealt with light seizures and just a lot of difficulty. These light seizures would just be enough that I could still be talking. But could lose my place for a second or two. And it happened a few times in the crusade where I stopped, but I was able to pick right up. But I opened my eyes and my interpreter was looking at me wondering what's going on. So they started to get worse as time went on. And they would have been asking me, I said, look, you need to get surgery. We need to get this out. For 17 years watching this. And I was convinced that I was going to die before I was going to have brain surgery. It just wasn't going to happen. But one time at Christmas Eve, I woke, I had my eyes closed. I had my hands like this. I opened my eyes. My son was standing before me. He's about 20 at this time. He's crying. I said, "Son, what's going on?" He said, "Dad, you weren't here." I said, "What was I doing?" He said, "You had your hands like this." I still did. He said, "You were praying for yourself." I had no idea. So I had to make a decision to go in. And the brain surgeon said, he said, this was at Cleveland Clinic. And I said, "Do you do a lot of surgeries?" He says, "I do 450 of these a year." I said, "Wow." And they had 20 brain surgeons there. And he said, "Don't worry. The only thing that could possibly happen is for you to lose your peripheral vision." I went through with the surgery. And when it was done, I did get in touch with people around the world. I said, "Would you please pray that they do the surgery? They'll find nothing." Because right before I had the surgery, I was in Uganda. I was going to go to Uganda. And they do an MRI every year. If a brain tumor turns white, it's cancer. If it grows, it puts more pressure on the brain. Greater chance of seizures. And I was going, leaving in a few weeks to go to November, or to, it was November, I was going to leave for Uganda to do a crusade, and went there. The doctor pulled up the pictures and he says, "Look, this is growing." My wife said, "He's going to be leaving the country in 2 weeks." He says, "I suggest he stays home." And this was a wonderful crusade. Some of that video footage is on YouTube. I've seen some tremendous things happening. But what I didn't realize was God was working on me. He was working on me in the fact that I feel that he took me down to the foundation, and he wanted to strip some things out of the foundation because he knew the weight that I was going to have to carry one day. And that tearing me down like that, it made it so that there was no other option. It's only forward. There was no going back to trying to pastor or going back to work. And it was one way. And God has been so faithful. I mean, and you know, I felt that was discipline, but we realize that God disciplines those he loves, and afterwards it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness, which it has. I mean, in one way, I'm very happy that I had to go through it, because now on the other side of it, of the Father's discipline, I see that, you know, first of all, I'm immovable. This is all I'm going to do. There's no changing, no turning, no twisting. And I see God working so wonderfully. Again, God had told me years ago, "I don't want you to do any laborious work." And I was a younger man, and I thought, how am I going to provide for my family if I don't work? You know, how's the kids going to feed? How are they going to eat and different things? We really went through some hard times. There was times where people would bring us food because we didn't have it. And so then I went back to work for periods of time. And then it happened after my surgery. The Lord said, that's when he said, "You shall do no laborious work." And I said, "Okay." And then somebody jumped in about 2 weeks later. And from that point on, all the money that I said we needed to survive on has come every month. And so I don't have to work. And he told me, "You shall do no laborious work. And shall you serve me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be." And so for that time, which was in 2019, right there, and from that point on, actually 2018, the money has, God has provided that money each month, takes care of the needs of our family completely. And they're not, it's not a great amount of money. We're debt free. So it wasn't like I needed a lot of money to survive. And that amount of money has been there. So all the money that people give to the ministry can go just for our broadcast or crusades. So it's really been a blessing, but God had to strip me down to get me to that place so that when this happened, you know, I'd be immovable. And so, you know, he made it clear to me, don't slow down the pace unless I tell you. So from that point on, but again, these were hard tests to go through. And I remember being in Africa doing a crusade around 2019 or 18, something like that. And I shared this testimony in one of my teachings. After this, the teaching to the pastors, I went outside just for a little break, and about five pastors came out and a bishop, and he said, "Can we talk to you, evangelists?" I said, "Yes." They said, "We'd like to share with you, all five of us, we're going to quit ministry. We've had it with ministry. We're just done. The difficulties with our family, dealing with people, dealing with our local community, just really suffered. Said, we've had it. We don't want to do it anymore. Said, but we listened to your testimony, how you were sick for 17 years. And you kept persevering. Even in that, you kept doing crusades, keep working. And, you know, I've always felt like quitting is not an option. Quitting is not an option. And so those are the difficulties that God took me through. I believe those real difficulties. And so if somebody's out there listening and you're really having some difficulties, you know, I can say this, be obedient to what God says. God said to me, you shall do no work. Well, that, you know, that's not an easy thing to tell your wife. Hey, honey, guess what? I'm not going to be doing any more work. And I can just imagine when Peter and the guys were out fishing and they caught the greatest catch they've ever caught. And he comes home to his wife and says, how was your day? And he says, oh, we caught this great catch of fish. And she says, where are they? And he says, well, I left it behind. I'm going to follow Jesus now. So it was just a challenging thing, but God has been faithful. And whatever test I wasn't passing back then, when he told me not to work years and years earlier, at this point, because he had taken me down to that level, I just trusted and stayed the course. But I just want to let you know, Jeremy, thanks for asking that question, because I really believe it's the kind of question that people need to know. Has it just always been, you know, piece of cake for you, or has there really been some difficult times that God has taken you through to see where you're at right now?
I really see like a picture of a forest. Sometimes, you know, people think that, for instance, when the Amazon rainforest, when it gets burned down, that's obviously it can be a bad thing. But the image that I see of what you've described in those 17 years is being that forest being burned down, but then ultimately becoming more fruitful. And so that word that you shared with us is very encouraging to all of us who, I'm sure in past years, there's been various challenges that, you know, people in the body of Christ have had to endure. And so hearing that word, to know that even the sufferings, even the things that we have gone through, can ultimately be used, you know, to be fruitful in the kingdom of God. And I really appreciate and thank you for your heart, your humility, and you always have, when we communicate, such a culture of honor to what you do. And I really pray that anyone who's listening, or anyone who has connections to networks or platforms or ways for evangelist Richard Meredith to be able to get the message further, please reach out to evangelist Richard, because this is such a great message to share. And I'm very encouraged by just being a friend and knowing you. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Christine. I appreciate it. And Jeremy, if I could just take a minute, I'd just like to bless the people who are listening.
Sure.
Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance on and give you peace. May he bless your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore, in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen.
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 Thank you so very much. It's been an honor and a privilege today to spend this time with such a great leader in the faith and ministry, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Evangelist Richard.
Thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate it.